Welcome, everybody, to another episode of On the Range Podcast with Warhawk Tactical and Kelly Defense. I am Mark Kelly, and as always, with my co-host, Rick Hogg from Warhawk Tactical. How's it going, buddy?
Man, Mark, it is going great. Just want to thank the viewers, listeners out there for giving us your most precious commodity, your time to tune in, whether you're watching or listening. Guys, can't thank you enough. Do us a huge favor. Please go hit that subscribe button, that like button, that follow button. Leave us a rating review, whatever platform you're on. Help us beat this algorithm. Get the word out there. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell the neighbors, tell everybody. Stick it on your social media. Do all that stuff. Boom. On the Range Podcast. You know, that's the place to go, whether it's this, Warhawk Words of Wisdom, Vantage Point. You got all kinds of stuff rolling at you. If you like what you're hearing, you want early access to the show, you want training tips. Oh, by the way, one just dropped today only for our patrons. That's right. Patreon.com/on the range podcast. We do Zoom calls with our patrons, interact with them, see what's going on. And I'm going to tell you straight up, man, we've got some great patrons from all over the world. That's right. Not just here in America, all over the world. And yeah, we drive, content for them because that's what they're looking for. And you know what? It's a cool place to hang out. So. Yeah, buddy. Glad to be here.
Wherever you are, thank you for making this part of your day. And today's episode is brought to you by Killcliff. So go to killcliff.com and check out the promo code from On the Range Podcast. It's OTR15. Save yourself a boatload of cash. I am drinking the Tropicool Thunder Ignite. What you got there today, Rick?
Nice. Well, so I swapped mine out of the can. I did a little Warhawk marketing, plus keep my Flaming Joe Ignite nice and cool in my cup here. So yeah, we can be a while.
So go to killcliff.com and check out, like we said, the promo code OTR15, and also check out the Killcliff Cult Club. It's a rewards program. The more that you talk about it, the more that you earn. So visit killcliff.com, fueling the American dream with ingredients that do not suck. Boom. So we got a pretty big story that happened this week. We may have to release this weekend, this episode, because I think people are want to hear our take on it. It's a big story. It's been going on. We knew there was a time limit on it. It was going to go into effect, I believe, just a couple of days ago. So they did it the day of.
I think it was the 11th.
United States Supreme Court went ahead and ruled and blocked the vax mandate. Rick, what were you doing when you heard that?
You know, I'm not going to lie, Mark. I don't pay attention to the news, right? I'm going to be honest with you. Why? Because that thing just seeps poison. Was I sitting on the edge of my seat? Nope.
Yeah.
I might catch in the evening, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Kind of tuned in, you know, kind of like, we were talking about with Tony before, you know, I was more kind of concerned, hey, what's the state of North Carolina doing as far as the areas of responsibility? I don't think that's the right word, but just for the congressional districts. But anyway, you can't listen to the news, right? So here's a prime example. I got a note from a buddy of mine, something about U.S. Army's training for the next civil war or something. And it was basically it's talking about Robin Sage. Robin Sage is a special forces training exercise that, oh, by the way, has been going on since the 60s for, you know, special forces soldiers that are going to be trained. Do that. So I went through Robin Sage, you know, so it's nothing new. But again, that's what kills me with the media is they always put in some twist verbiage in there for whatever. So again, I'm not paying attention because to me, it's all kind of poison out there. But no, the whole Supreme Court ruling, I'm glad they ruled the way they did. And if you're not savvy, they ruled a couple different ways, and I'll get some clarity from you on this. But the ruling wasn't so much for the vax mandate as it was more the way I understood it, who was supposed to enforce this mandate. So how all of a sudden we've got the Secretary of Labor telling OSHA is basically controlling safety in the workplace, that now it's their spot, you know, to sit there and go, hey man, but this is, you know, OSHA's supposed to be going out to the workplace going, all right, cool, man, here's this construction dude, whatever the rules are, 3, 4, 5 stories up, and oh, you're not clipped into a safety line. Yeah, that's a safety violation, because if he slips off the scaffolding or the scaffolding fails, however that works, he's at least clipped in and not falling to his death. Okay, so let's think about it. OSHA's mainly in a, you know, large workplace where accidents can happen. I'm sure they go to farms and stuff like that. But are they going to roll out to the lone farmer that's out there working the field and go, hey, buddy, good ruling on that, you know, because it's a total overstep of power and bounds, in my opinion. We've kind of whole lost our mind.
You make a very good point. You know, when we were talking about this topic and rolling out with this show today, mm-hmm. it was more or less the ramifications of this type of ruling. It's not mm-hmm. so much the topic.
No,
it's almost like trying to avoid an authoritarian administration. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have a king, we don't have a dictator, but you can certainly have an authoritarian administrative body. And that's really what this is kind of talking about. It's like, you know, for those of you who really don't know exactly what this was about, is when the current administration rolled out its idea for the businesses to require its employees. So businesses of 100 employees or more are required to have them vaccinated. The exemption would come through having a test weekly. And this would have been at the cost of the business or at the individual if they're contractors. And they wanted to make this mandatory. They come along, grab the Department of Labor, which is an odd administrative body to be enforcing this, and OSHA, mm-hmm. the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which was born out of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and make mm-hmm. them the enforcing bureaucracy. Very strange. Very strange. This would have affected 84, almost 100 million workers would have been affected, which is, you know, if you think about it, which is roughly, gosh, 80, 90% of all adult workers out there. Mm-hmm. So this was a big deal. And almost immediately it was met with backlash. Don't quote me on that. I'm close on this one though, Rick, but mm-hmm. almost all of the District Court of Appeals immediately began to receive, you know, stay requests, wanting to shut this thing down. Hey, let's talk about it, that kind of stuff. So wildly unpopular for a couple of reasons. You know, it's not so much the freedom aspect, which we're going to really get into, but requiring, even if you agree with what they were doing, you're putting these businesses in a huge, huge problem. It would have almost immediately, if this would have went in very shortly after it started, there'd have been a ton of people fired for not complying or not getting the test in, or it would have bankrupt a ton of businesses. It would have been a monumental disaster. It would have been absolutely disaster. And then one more thing before I get your comment on this, Rick, mm-hmm. is a big part of this mandate is it preempted all existing state laws. Mm-hmm. So the idea of a republic would be gone. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what, in my opinion, made it unconstitutional.
Well, totally. I mean, you've got, you know, mandates coming down from the federal government, right? So if you think about when this thing all kicked off, you know, my hat's off to Trump, because he was like, hey, man, let the states figure it out. It's not my place. Yeah. Okay, cool. We get this new entity in that is, to me, totally power hungry, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm going to hit on a couple points there, but here's my point. Why aren't we mandating, hey, McDonald's, quit, you know, pumping poison in the kids? Hey, Coca-Cola, fix your stuff. Hey, if you're, you know, this, that, the other, get the boot. Here's the part that blows me away. Why are we so on giving this vaccine? Back in the day, why did we all get our smallpox shots? And I'm talking about the first one, not this rebooster they came around, right? Because it pretty much got rid of it, right? And then all of a sudden it started rearing its head again. They redid the booster. To me, a vaccine is supposed to shut things down. And I'm sick and tired of hearing variant Y and variant X and Omicron, whatever. The whole thing's rubbish to me, right? Something doesn't smell right. But that's enough on that part. But really, the other part that rolls in is, you know, with the current debacle you have up in D.C., this power-hungry crew Now, you know, we're looking at, all right, we're going to pass this down to OSHA to try to mandate. Cool. Supreme Court says, nope, shut it down. Where do our civil liberties, do we even have any anymore? I don't know. People need to stand up, you know, just like we talked about, getting involved at the lowest level and getting stuff fixed. Do something. Just don't sit there and stew at it at the House. Call your representatives at all levels and say, hey, man, I don't agree with this.
Yeah,
that's the only way we're going to get things changed. But it's just, it's a total, you know, overstep of power across the board. It's such a clown show, man. You got somebody that's supposed to be the head of the most powerful country in the world can't even sit there and hold a sentence or know who people are that he's supposed to be addressing. I mean,
you know, and the people did react, and yep. Thank God for that. You know, Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire and some other big companies spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in a short period of time, got it together. And there was the case that was heard in the Supreme Court was called the National Federation of Independent Businesses against or versus the Department of Labor and OSHA. They heard it and it was finally ruled upon. It was a 6-3 ruling in favor of the plaintiffs. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that, and I'm like you, I don't watch the big news. I wait for like the Daily Wire and Outkick and some of these other guys to throw stuff into my phone. The first thing I thought was how huge was the picks for the Supreme Court that Donald Trump had? How big? But to be fair to Ruth Ginsburg, she's old school. I don't believe she would have went for this at all. I really don't. She had, you know, whatever you thought about some of her rulings, she had an illustrious career. Legendary. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she would have went for this. I really don't. She was old school, but you never know. But these three that went against it, I'd listened to some of the arguments earlier the previous week, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You are supposed to judge the constitutionality of it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you're supposed to do. And man, it was brutal. And we don't have time to get into some of the arguments and rebuttal from the judges. Some of them had good questions, but they're talking about, look, it's not just about the mandates. It's about the overreach of government. That's what they do. They really believe those three, and there's probably another one on there, that the government can do whatever the hell it wants, whenever it wants. All they got to do is cite some kind of an emergency. Brutal.
And we're well past the emergency part, right? I don't even think it was an emergency to start.
The unknown, I get it. You know, we were all kind of like, hey, we don't really don't know what we're dealing with, but we're far past that. I can't remember what I felt like back then.
Exactly. But here's the point, right? Our founding fathers, man, these guys put pen to paper specific reasons, i.e. situations like this. Did they ever see us fast forwarding, you know, with this much technology? Probably not. But when you put pen to paper, and it's kind of like we talked about, hey, if you're one of these that was going to do your New Year's resolution, cool. Did you actually put it pen to paper? Because if you didn't, it's all rubbish, right? And the document doesn't morph with time. It doesn't change. The document of the Constitution is that. Okay. Our Bill of Rights are just that. They are written down on paper for all to see. And the words are quite, you know, it's not like it's crazy verbiage. It's pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't like they were writing things where, man, I need an encyclopedia to go figure out these words. Nope. When the justices are up there, you know, because this is the beauty with our country is, you know, we're supposed to have the checks and balance with the different branches. When you're looking at this case, cool. Does it violate the Constitution or does it not? You know, so here's a prime example. And I know I'm shifting here gears a little bit, but everyone's like anti-Second Amendment. If you read the entire amendment, there's a key phrase in there, shall not be infringed, right? So what part are you wanting to restrict my rights? Because the founding father said, shall not be infringed. Pretty plain, simple English. I don't know how to put it any plainer. And when you read it, it's not super difficult to understand. It's pretty clear cut.
No matter what your thoughts are, if you really believe everybody should get vaccinated or you really believe, you know, that they don't or they shouldn't be, you know, vaccinated, why would you personally want to give up or give that much authority to the government to affect your personal life and then use some kind of okey-doke way? That was the first red flag for me is OSHA's the enforcing factor. First of all, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They're just going to scare these businesses into making their employees get it. No doubt that a vast majority of the smaller ones that are right over that 100 employee mark, mm-hmm. they just would have fired two or three of them, so they were under it.
Yeah.
But they would have had to survive.
Right. But here's the part, right? Here's the part you have to think. So let's say hypothetically, this passes. Okay, cool. You've just opened up Pandora's box, in my opinion.
Yes. So
don't sit there and turn a blind eye and look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the overstep of power. And once you do it, what's to stop this thing from rolling? So we already know the agenda. You know, they've got this whole green agenda. Could something else not roll in with it? 100% it could, man. So it's just a dangerous precedent that, thank God, has been stopped. Our system works. That was the checks and balance. Hey, you got, you know, the executive branch going, we want to do this. And, you know, judicial's like, sorry, dude, you're out of bounds. So,
and you know, the funny thing too, is it was very cleverly written to be purposely broad and wide reaching. So mm-hmm. they didn't make any distinction between a group of office workers that work in an office, the size of a phone booth together from a mm-hmm. guy who's a landscaper that works by himself out of his truck by himself. It didn't matter. Yeah. Everybody applied. If there was over 100 employees in that business, everybody applied. Sure. And it was purposeful.
100%.
Put you through the screws. So like, you know, we said, almost every court of appeals received a complaint. So people who run businesses, they understand that they weren't going to survive this. So it wasn't so much whether they believed in the right or that everybody should be vaccinated or whatever. This country still has to operate. It still has to run. The same restrictions and regulations that we're putting on is causing the supply chain. All these things, we're painting ourselves in a corner with this stuff. So why would we continue to allow this administration or any government entity to add more rules, add more mandates, make us do more things and not let us run our businesses and lives? I don't know why we'd ever give that up, even if you strongly believe in what the subject is.
No. And that's the whole point, Mark, right? Is luckily you had some people with some money, because again, that's what it's going to take to put these things up the chain. But could, let's say, you know, Johnny's Landscaping, you know, who might have 100 guys out there mowing grass, trimming inside, whatever. Are they going to sit there and have the funds to sit there and put a case in front of the Supreme Court? Nope. They're going to have to sit there and go, all right, yeah, you know, I guess we'll have to do it or turn a blind eye, however they do it. I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those dangerous balancing acts, right? So again, it's people with power or money. Luckily they had the money to put in front of the courts, but, yeah, dude, it's just an overstep of bounds. And people, I would say this, I got it. You may not be a huge reader. Go get you a copy of the Constitution. Read it over. Trust me, dude, it's a short read. It's a very short read. Won't take you long at all. And I would say this, sit on it, let it resonate with you, and then really understand how much power we the people actually have, because that's what people don't understand. I don't think they really realize what rights we have as Americans. We're not entitled to diddly.
Yeah. Nope.
The only thing we're entitled, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Boom. You know, being entitled to anything else, I don't want nothing from the government. Yeah. Just give me the opportunity to either succeed or fail. And if I sit there and fail and fall down, cool. Brush the dust off, regroup, pick up, and move on.
Yeah.
But people, please, you live in the greatest country in the world. Know kind of what the playbook is. Know what your rights are as Americans. And, you know, if something doesn't sit right, that's where, you know, you let the legislators know, hey, man, you're my voice. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So, none of this made sense. It didn't make sense at all why OSHA would have been used. It's an occupational safety and health. The virus is everywhere. My workplace safety have to do with me being home. It doesn't apply. Like you said, OSHA guys go around making sure folks have their hard hats on.
Yeah.
They don't tell you what kind of medicine or what kind of treatment or what you should do at home. Nope. It's just a workplace. And they're trying to push this through, you know, backwards like this. it immediately rose a lot of red flags for me. Immediately.
Sure. But it would be like them coming into the workplace and going, oh, you're drinking Coca-Cola. Here's a fine because you got sugar. Where do you draw the line on letting your civil liberties just be trampled on? And that's the underlying statement.
I really don't think this is last we heard of this.
Nope.
I really don't. I don't know what's next. But it wasn't a good week for the administration, man. They took it on the chin with this one. They had that one old girl come out and basically say she's not for the filibuster. And she got some other folks on board. Just because you want to do something now, it doesn't necessarily make, if you make a change, it's going to affect everything down the road or let authoritarianism in the cracks. It's not a good thing. And then on top of that, Munchen doubled and tripled down on the negative on the Build Back Better. So it just hasn't been a great week for the administration. But like I said, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. We'll see what happens. No. We'll see what happens.
Now, and here's the thing, Mark. I think 33% approval rate. 33%. Yet, supposedly get all these votes. Shocking. I don't quite understand it. You know, we won't get into that one. But epic fail.
Yeah.
And it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah. To echo what you said earlier, you know, Tony Cowden, folks like him, that's what we need to do. Get behind these guys and help them out. And just a lot of great people doing some great things. We just need to keep it up and know who we're voting for and who we got in there. We definitely need to do that. So
absolutely.
Great topic. Thanks for being here, buddy. Rick. You know, let's make sure that we talk about the Patreon or roll out here. But KellyDefense.com and Warhawk.com in honor of Duco, / in honor of Duco. Make sure we mention that. We still want to collect as much money as we can for that. Also, go to both those websites and sign up for the newsletters and also subscribe to the email list. And a lot of good information. And one last time, we're not going to leave without mentioning it again because we think it's just great, is the Patreon page. You go to patreon.com/ On the Range Podcast. Sign up. Check out all the content we have. A lot of training tips. We just put up another vlog last week. Today, we dropped another training tip. Rick was out there blasting it up. Great stuff. So let's make sure we stay on top of it, buddy. It's going good, and we want some more people to enjoy that and help support the show.
Absolutely, man.
All right, pal. Sounds good, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you on the range.
Yeah, man. Yeah, take care.